This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Blog Talk Radio.
Don't even want the attention, but yeah, that's all that she's getting. Her song is on and she's spinning around. Yeah, she got me drunk like a heart racing like it's Daytona. Ooh, I'm in heaven, I swear, right now. And those eyes can hypnotize. Was designed to blow my mind. Look what God gave her, her perfect teenager. She walks in the room. Singing like she came down from the ceiling when she walked in here this evening. I thought, yeah, that girl 1 in 7 billion got everyone in here feeling like there's a fire in this building so high. Got a smile on an angel face. I know I'll never lose my faith. Look what God gave her, how perfect he made her. She walks in the room.
Chance this year to catch Monster Energy NASCAR Cup racing in New England. So if you like living out loud, we mean really loud, then come get your loud on at the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301, July 20th through 21st. Tickets start at just $40. Get yours today at nhms.com.
This is NASCAR driver Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to the Pit Stop Radio.
Good evening from Duggan Nation. I'm Tim Bespain. Stephen Wilson has the evening off, joining me on the pit box here, live from Dega. My good friend Scott Rivas, driver of the number nothing haul there for JD Motorsports, the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Scott, how you doing this evening, brother?
Doing pretty good. Trying to stay out of this mess we got outside. It's hotter than holy hell.
I was going to ask you how damn hot it was in Gaffney, South Carolina. Well, I guess it's hotter than holy hell, right?
It wasn't as bad as Daytona. I think I saw the devil. He turned around and went back home. It was too hot.
I don't blame him. And that, talk about hot. You know, like you mentioned Daytona there. Last year in Darlington, whenever we talked to you, That's probably, I mean, there was not a breeze or nothing there at that throwback weekend there at Darlington. That's probably the hottest I've ever been at a racetrack, probably besides Charlotte. Now, I got to throw Charlotte in there this past May before you and I was up there. It was hot in Charlotte, too. And you had mentioned that you had to go get some more water up in Charlotte, didn't Scott?
Oh, yeah. We went through, I don't know, about 28 cases of water. So you get 28 times 40, do the math, this is around 900 bottles of water.
It was
we
hot,
went through 32 cases this weekend and 15 cases of Gatorade.
Golly. Yeah, Scott, whenever the clouds come up, whenever y'all had that rain down there, the rain was off and on down there at Daytona International Speedway, did it cool down any or was it still sticky hot with the humidity?
As soon as it quit raining, it got worse. I mean, it's because all that steam's coming from the ground, from the sun, heating up the asphalt. It was horrible. Now, when the sun went down, it was tolerable. It wasn't really that bad. It was just very humid.
That's right.
And, it's kind of funny. I opened up my back. Oops, sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up.
Because I realized how hot it was the day I opened up my backpack. I started to do laundry to get ready to go to Kentucky, and I went through three sets of clothes both days, and I just opened my backpack, and I was like, "Ooh, yeah, they're right."
Sort of like the old football high school locker room, huh?
Exactly.
Amen, brother. And Scott, let everyone know the number to call in is 215-383-3681. Again, I'm Tim Despain here in Talladega. He's Scott Rivas there in Gaffney, South Carolina, filling in for Stephen Wilson tonight. And like I said, Scott, Ross Chastain, he put the college number 16 in Victor Lane there at Daytona, and he busted the watermelon, brother. I mean, and I think you were the one that started him out busting that watermelon. But that young man, he's a damn wheel man, brother.
I venture to say, in between trucks and Xfinity, he's probably the best driver out there right now.
Exactly, Scott. And if I can, Scott, let's go ahead and listen to him. It's a pretty long media center audio there, but I'm not going to play everything. But I want to listen to a little bit about Ross Chastain after he won that race there in Daytona this past weekend in the media center. So let's listen to that, Scott. We'll be right back.
If I can have your attention here in the media center and up in the press box here in the wee small hours in the morning at Daytona International Speedway. We are joined by members of our race-winning team for the 18th annual Circle K Firecracker 250 powered by Coca-Cola. We have team owner Matt Collig, team president Chris Rice, and crew chief Alex Yontz. I'm going to start down the line. Chris, let's start. First win for this organization. Big night for you guys.
Huge night, but not only is the first win, 1-2-3. I just told Matt riding over here on the golf cart, I said, you know, our first year looked too easy. We made the playoffs with Blake Cook. We made this look too easy. I don't expect it anymore. So it was pretty awesome. Ross Chastain, Justin Haley, AJ Allmendinger, hats off to those guys, but everybody at Colleague Racing is what made this happen.
Matt, how sweet was this night for you?
Like, extremely sweet. You know, we talked all week. Actually, we've been talking for a couple months about just trophy hunting. That's what we've been calling it, just trophy hunting. And we said if at Talladega we had two cars in the race, and if we didn't wreck them, then we'd run a third. And the only reason we didn't run four today is because we don't have enough cars.
Exactly.
So, no, Ross ran a great race. Really proud of him. Really proud of the whole team. Chris, Alex, I mean, everybody involved did a great job, and couldn't be more proud. First win. We're at Daytona.
Alex, about you?
Oh, this is amazing feeling. Like, I kept looking around at the car chief and Chris, and I was like, is this really happening? This is really happening. Not only did we win, but Colleague Racing just finished 1, 2, and 3 and swept the stages. Like, I mean, it felt like it was a dream, and obviously a dream come true for sure.
The dream come true season continues for you, Ross Chastain, winning driver. Walk us through your win.
Man, I can't walk. I don't know. It's all a blur, but it all starts with people. I mean, it's not just a PR thing you say. It's, for me, this is what it's all about. It's all about the people and the people that got me in this car. And then Matt Collig, Chris Rice, helping put all this together is, man, it's just, it's great. It's what the good Lord puts in front of you, and he put these people in my path for no reason that any of us saw coming, and it's all for a greater reason, and I'm good with whatever he gives. And it's been the darkest of times, but it's also been the best times of my life this year. And getting to work and getting to know, I mean, like Chris said it earlier, 5 years ago or so, me and him were fighting for, you know, just mad at each other all the time. Like, physically, I thought we were going to fight. And when this whole deal came together, he called me and said, come up to the shop. We're talking alone. Nobody else was there. We stood in the middle of the shop. He explained his side. I explained my side. We shook hands, and we said, we're going to go take over the world. And that's what Matt Colley wanted to do with us. He wanted us to go win trophies, go trophy hunt. And I think I'm going to drive this car and take it up to your house, because I don't think I'm ever going to get the right to drive this car again, because I think it's...
Oh, it's done. It'll never race again. You'll see it in a museum at Colley Racing. It ain't racing. We can build some more. Didn't you see them other two?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how to describe my race, though. I mean, super aggressive. Almost wrecked down there and won with Justin. That's just how you have to be. And I told these guys at the beginning of the year, especially after the first Daytona race, I said, if you seeing how much track position meant, if you want me to race for the win, we may crash on lap 5, and they were good with it. The only thing was, don't crash with your teammates. So at least leave somebody out there for Colley Racing to go win. So bringing 3 cars here was unprecedented. We got the 16 car in victory lane. I mean, it's incredible.
Good deal. We're going to open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Matt and go to Christian.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. I'll start with Ross, and then I have one for everyone else too. Early on in the race, I'd say into the first stage, whenever it was, you and Tyler had kind of got together racing for the lead, kind of walled him a little bit, but it felt like you were driving pretty darn aggressive. Were you trying to make that statement early on that you're not lifting, you're not getting out of the way, you're going to make them take the win from you?
I think you got me mixed up with that Kawasaki guy. So, yeah.
But you guys were driving aggressive.
Well, yeah,
though.
You have to, man. Yeah. And his car was so fast, obviously, qualifying the pole, but we were just as fast, and I just had to keep him behind me. And I was just really late on that block. Honestly, I wasn't aggressive enough. If I'd have been aggressive, he would have never gotten to my right rear. And once we got up there and got hooked, I was almost full lock left, just trying to stay off of him. But we were really tight at that point, and they did make a good adjustment when we put 2 tires on or whatever you did. Thank you, because it was better the rest of the race. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be aggressive. There's no other way around it.
And for Chris and Alex, the Daytona 500 this year, Hamlin, Gapehart, and Lambert had won that race, and it was kind of a cool story because it was 3 late model guys coming to win the biggest race in stock car racing. And this is kind of similar because, Chris, you're from a late model background, crew chief. Your whole life has been short track racing, and Alex, yours as well, Martinsville 300 winner. For you guys, a bunch of short track guys, Ross, short track guy too. You've worked your way up the ranks. There's a bunch of blue collar guys coming to win at the World Center of Racing, and Matt kind of put that together. So just for all 4 of you guys being, you know, blue-collar, hardworking guys winning at Daytona.
Yeah, it really is. And it's no secret what we're doing here. You know, Alex Shantz is a fresh crew chief, and he's under he'll vouch for it. He's under my wing, and we're taking his 10 car, and we're going to next year hopefully run full-time with it, with Alex Shantz crew chiefing it full-time. And then I'm going to stand behind all of these pit stalls and complain to all these crew chiefs. But right now he's, you know, we've taken this car, and with Ross's help, we're just mentoring a crew chief that deserves a shot, or a racer that deserves a shot, and that's what we're doing with Alex. And he works real hard on this car, works real hard on the 11 car. So it's been fun to take a late model racer like Alex. I used to really despise racing him back in the late model days, but now I love him because he'll push every limit there he is. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty surreal that we just started this thing 4 years ago. And, you know, I had a dinner one night that was with Blake Cook and with Chris Rice, and we kind of went through what it would look like to actually own a team, or what you need to start a team, and how much money it costs and everything else. And, you know, we put that on hold based on a lot of different things for about 5 months, and then we got back together in November, December of, I don't even remember what year.
Yeah, 16, 15.
Right. So this is our 4th season, and so it's just really cool to see how everybody's grown. So Alex and Chris and Micah and Lenny, and, I mean, everybody we have at Colley Racing. Now we've got a big old race shop, And, you know, again, we finished 1-2-3 at Daytona in our fourth year. So it's cool. I like the marketing aspect of it. I like the sponsorship aspect. I like the business end of NASCAR. I think it's a great sport. These guys are racers. I didn't grow up racing. But, you know, in being able to showcase Lee Filter, and now we had Ellsworth Advisors, our financial services business, on the car for the first time, I think that's a good luck charm. But that's what I like about it, and the fact that we get trophies and we get to win and just keep growing our business and our businesses is what I like about it.
Ross, kind of blue-collar guys unite to kind of the biggest track in NASCAR?
It is, man. You hear what he said. He likes the business in NASCAR. You have to like it to make it work, and he makes it work, and he does incredible things behind the scenes to make us available to be able to bring race cars to the track. Period, let alone fast race cars. Race cars that all qualify good and all race good. But, yeah, just I grew up racing at New Smyrna. Back up from that, I was a kid, and we camped outside Turn 1 in the mud. We'd go over to Home Depot, get all their pallets, make a, and then buy plywood and outdoor carpet, make a floating dock. And, like, that's not even, like, spinning it good. It was terrible out there. And, like, it was hot. Always a rain delay. Like, you just know it. And we were just race fans. And then 12 years old, my dad wanted to get me into racing as a hobby. And we start racing over at Punta Gorda Speedway, which is now 417. And then turn 17, 18 years old, come run New Smyrna Speedway 2010 and 11. Win World Series of asphalt stock car racing in the last limited late model division series they ever ran there. Against guys we should have not have beaten. It was the same story back then. Like, we ran a 1,000-pound spring and an 1,100. And I had to run across the apron in 3 and 4 to make that thing turn every night. And we qualified on the pole, and we won 3 races that night or that week, and we won the championship. And that's when we realized we should look at NASCAR. But yeah, we've all came from the same thing, and we've all watched Daytona, you know, casually as race fans or once we all got into racing. I know when you were running late models, you watched the Daytona races and like, man, I want to get there.
Yes.
And you're freaking here, man.
It's a dream come true. It really is. I mean, it just, like I said earlier, it doesn't even feel real yet, you know. And, you know, watching Ross, and it kind of sounds like Ross and Chris had a little bit of the same relationship Chris and I had, so which makes the story even funnier, and we hadn't really looked back at that yet. But, I mean, it's just an amazing feeling to take what Matt and Chris started from nothing, and then, like you said, 4 years later, 1-2-3, and sweep the stages. I mean, it can't get any better than that. And it just says so much about what they've built and how strong of a race team and shop we have. And it's just it's a great thing to be a part of.
And Scott, that was Ross Chastain, Matt Colleague, and Chris Rice there, team manager there in the media center at Daytona after they won the Firecracker 250 there. And you had mentioned you and Ross, y'all are big buddies. Y'all been tight for a long time. I think you probably implemented this deal with the busting the watermelon thing and everything. Have you talked to Ross since he won this Xfinity Series race there with Colleague Racing at Daytona?
No, I haven't talked to him yet. I'll probably get a chance to talk to him this weekend in Kentucky. But, yeah, the watermelon, that's a pretty cool deal, ain't it? And the thing that I had a little part, little hand in that whole deal is pretty cool. Because if you look at all the pictures when he won the Xfinity race last year with Chip Ganassi and DC Solar, you see him up, he's got the watermelon up above his head, and I'm hiding down beneath the car trying to stay out of all the damn pictures. And because obviously I didn't work for Ganassi, but his parents made sure that I had some watermelons, and I took them over there, and everybody's looking at me like I'm, you know, an alien, and I'm like, no, just watch. And handed him the watermelon. He texted me the next day, and he said, you know, this is awesome. I never thought of it. And he's continued to do so this day. We're probably going to see a couple more of those watermelons this year.
I will agree. And, Scott, don't take this the wrong way, but with you trying to stay out of sight behind the car, you're a fairly large gentleman. And listeners, I'm saying he's large. He's big. He's not fat. He is huge. Scott, how did you squat behind that car to keep everybody seeing?
I don't know. I can tell you this is a pain. It hurt to get up. My knees couldn't take it very well.
And to add to that, while I'm thinking about it, you you come back to fueling some of the cars too. And here at Talladega City Speedway at my home track, I got some pictures of you fueling the cars. Let everybody know exactly how much that gas can weighs, and NASCAR does let the fueling guy go over the wall to a certain extent, and somebody puts that gas can up on your shoulders, correct? I think you told me it's about 100 pounds, 105 pounds weight for you to put that fuel into that car.
Yeah, it's about 97 pounds full up, and it's only 97 pounds for about 2 seconds. Once that thing hits it, that can empties in about 4 seconds. Turn around, grab another one, and do it again.
And Scott, you've been around the sport long enough too. I want to pose this question to you. Whenever we used to have the gas man and the catch can man, and then we went to that fuel cell that dumps everything in it breathes everything, like you mentioned. Once you plug into that adapter there on that fuel cell on that race car, is it a lot better than what it was back when we had that the catch can man that had to open the valve and everything? Does it suck it in there pretty quick into that fuel cell now rather than what it did when we had the catch can guy?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier to tell when it's full, because if you notice the hose going from the can to the fuel head, it'll start it's almost like a jacuzzi. I think it's kind of what it looks like. Just it starts bubbling up, and then you know you're good to go, and it's time to unhook. But for the most part, you're going to leave that thing in there until the jack drops, just to make sure you want every drop in there you can get. And the only crazy part about doing it that way versus with the catch can, you know, there's going to be some fuel that hits the ground. So if you're unfortunate enough and lug that hits it the wrong way, you can look up YouTube and see Brendan Gaughan's gas man look like a firebomb.
That's right. Scott, I think Suzanne's got our guest over there in the training room. But I want to ask you one more question. You know, I have watched you through my years being the media guy here at Dagan, going to the tracks that Suzanne and I go to. And to lubricate that, I mean, now fans don't take this the wrong way. It's a male-female type deal. Do you use Vaseline to lubricate that head on that Sunoco gas can, or what do you use? I was thinking I seen you put some Vaseline around it.
No, I have to use Pam cooking spray.
Pam cooking spray. And that's the same thing that drivers were using back in the day whenever they could lock bumpers. Also, they would spray that Pam cooking spray on the bumpers to where they wouldn't. Am I correct, Scott, on that deal?
Oh, absolutely. Do they use that? Anything that would keep it from sticking to each other. But Pam seems to work best for me as far as the fuel heads. I've tried Zylock and Vaseline and everything else, but Pam's quickest and just the easiest, cheapest. And it works real well.
You got that right, brother. And let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Scott. We've got public relations director at Kentucky Speedway, Mr. Tim Bray. Let's bring him into the pit stop. The team is Bain and Scott Reeves.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Mr. Tim Bray from Kentucky Speedway, how you doing tonight, brother?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tim, thank you very much for taking time to come on. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm Tim Despain here in Talladega. My good friend Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. He's right outside of Richmond. He had to take the evening off. He has a severe case of bronchitis. But I've got my good friend, hauler driver for JD Motorsports in NASCAR Xfinity Series, Scott Revis, has joined us. And, Scott, if I want to let you ask Tim Bray a couple of questions and talk a little bit about your haul up there this coming weekend in Kentucky. And, Tim, I have a couple of questions, and we'll let you jump out of here. Tim, thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, no problem.
Not too many questions. Just Kentucky's gotten to be one of my favorite racetracks. And this year's schedule is a little tight for me, but other than that, that's got nothing to do with you. Are there any, I guess what I'm looking to say, I haven't looked at the schedule all that clue, I don't know the word I'm looking for. Are there any pre-race activities this year for the fans?
Oh, there's plenty of pre-race activities. The thought is, when you go back 20 years, you got to figure out something new, right? So it's the 20th season of racing at Kentucky, and so we've got some new things, and I think you'll enjoy both Friday and Saturday, and of course the trucks are on Thursday night as well. So we got three straight days, triple header. All three are at 7:30 at night, and so that's going to make it very interesting with the change in the daylight to nighttime of the racetrack. And in addition to that, the handling of the cars and all of that. But when you think about the pre-race activities, most of it's centered on Saturday, but we are going to have the Budweiser Clydesdales coming up on Friday in our display area. And so fans are going to be able to go out and see them. There's two that'll be on display, and I don't know if you've ever been up close and personal with a Clydesdale, but they're a big horse, and so you might even get your chance to have your picture taken with them. So that's going to be good. And Trackside Live is hot both Friday and Saturday. Jose and the guys have got a lot of different drivers on, and some of our personalities, and so that's going to be huge as well. So, and if you look to the sky, the Lima flight team is going to do a aerial demonstration. They're practicing on Friday, so that's free. Well, it's free on Saturday too, but they're going to have a practice on Friday, and of course on Saturday they'll do the real deal.
That's awesome. The biggest question I've got for this that affects me personally and affects all my guys on the teams and OBS, what's the weather been like up there lately?
Well, the greatest thing is that we've got a forecast that we're really proud of. I think we're hoping that you all dry out. I think it's going to be 86, 85, 86 degrees. The humidity's supposed to drop a little bit. So we're very excited about our future weather now. Anything can happen in Kentucky, but we're optimistic that it's going to be a good, dry, safe weekend of racing.
Well, that sounds great. Tim, he's all yours.
Thanks, Scott. Again, Tim, thank you very much for calling in. I got the note today from you guys at Kentucky Speedway. Y'all are doing a big deal there with this being the 20th anniversary race there. There's a lot of 20... The race fan experience and stuff with Quaker State. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the fans can expect and where to actually go to all that? Tim, but I hate to put you on the spot because there's so much here in this note that I got. I figured you'd be the best one to tell us, brother.
Well, there's no doubt that with 20 years, you got to celebrate. So that's what we're doing. And this is the ninth Cup race, which is kind of hard to believe, too. Back in 2011 was our first Cup race. And, we go all the way back to the year 2000 when Greg Biffle won. So, we are celebrating with a lot of special moments in Speedway history that we've been running on social media and in some of the local papers and things like that. But I think when you look at it deep down inside, I mean, we've made a lot of careers. You think about Kyle Busch. He's been at it for, 15 years now? A lot of his success has been at Kentucky. He's won 8 times in all the different series, from ARCA to the Xfinity Series, the Trucks, and, of course, in Cup as well. So, that's just one example. But I can go back and, we talk about Justin Haley winning Daytona. Well, you can go back to Stephen Like or David Gilliland winning in the Nationwide Series, now Xfinity Series at Kentucky, and nobody knew who those guys were either. So we've made some careers over the last 20 years.
And Tim, to let everyone know where your track is located, it's in Sparta, Kentucky, which Suzanne and I, we're going to fly out Thursday morning headed your way. And again, thank you for the media credentials that we got with our hard card. Really appreciate that. We're going to head your way Thursday morning flying out of Birmingham. But sort of let some of our listeners know. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, no, I can tell you that we are just about 40 minutes southwest of Cincinnati, Ohio. If you really dig into the weeds, you'll find that the airport is in northern Kentucky. So we're about 40 minutes from the river and downtown Cincinnati. And we're about an hour north of Louisville and about an hour north of Lexington. So we're in that triangle just along the Ohio River. The track sits about 5 miles south of the Ohio, and it is a beautiful space. There's no question. Just rolling bluegrass hills, and it's, you know, we got 7 different campgrounds on property. So a lot of people camp, and it's about the third largest city in the Commonwealth when we get it all said and done when we start on Saturday. So it's a wonderful place to come. It's a mile and a half track. We are working diligently to make sure that the drivers are confident and running 2 wide and 3 wide. And, this new aero package has worked so well for the mile and a half across all of the different tracks, both the ISC and SMI tracks. And we're anxious to bring that package to light in Kentucky. And I really believe it's going to work very, very well. Our guys are, as I say, working really hard on the racetrack, and we're going to put on a good show.
And, Tim, my final question before I let you jump out of here. Like Scott Rivas there, Hollow Driver JD Motorsports, had mentioned about the weather. They've been hot everywhere they go. And you mentioned that we're not going to be hot. We're not going to be with that humidity, like Jerry Clower says, hot. In there in Kentucky, but we're going to race at night, and we got the Truck Series, we got the Cup Series, got the Xfinity Series race there. Tim, this is a real awesome opportunity for everybody around Kentucky Speedway to come up there and look and see all 3 series, Tim.
There's a great opportunity to see the young drivers, the guys that are in the Truck Series, and I've got a couple of veterans in there too, like Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter. But and then you've got the Xfinity guys, and boy, they've been putting on great shows all year with Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick and that group, and you're going to see those guys in Cup very, very soon. And then the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series does such a great job, and they have put on great shows, and we feel like it's going to be a really good opportunity to see not only the best of the veterans, but the young drivers as well. All 3 nights, all at 7:30. KentuckySpeedway.com has all of the details on the schedule for all 3 days, and tickets and camping and everything. It's a one-stop shop if you just dial it up. And I'm thinking that it's an opportunity to have not only the young driver, but the veteran as well. And did you know that every single driver that won last year at Kentucky is back to defend in their series that they ran last year? And that is something of an oddity in NASCAR. So you've got Ben Rhodes defending in trucks, Chris Bell in the Xfinity Series, and Martin Truex Jr. going for back-to-back-to-back, which has never happened in Kentucky in the Cup Series.
And, Tim, before we let you jump out of here, thank any sponsors that you want to thank for Kentucky Speedway, anybody that has helped you get to where you are at this time. We're gonna give you that time.
Well, I can tell you that Quaker State has been such a great partner. They're the only sponsor that we've had in Cup, And this is their ninth year. So they're the oldest sponsor. And, you know, you've got Alsco, which is a great sponsor in the Xfinity Series. They've expanded their base this year. And the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225 is appropriately named because the Kentucky Department of Highway Safety has been a really good partner of ours over the years. And you know, seatbelt use in Kentucky among those who drive trucks is not as great as passenger cars or SUVs. And so it's an opportunity for them to get out there and make sure that they understand and fans understand that you got to buckle up. And, you know, those guys they're in the trucks and in the cars. They're the pros. And they have that 5-point harness on for a reason. So we think that the Kentucky Department of Highway Safety is a really great sponsor as well. So those three entitlements are very special to us.
Amen, Tim. Again, thank you very much for taking time to come on our show here in Talladega with myself and Scott Rivas up in Gaffney, South Carolina. And we will talk to you Thursday evening. Susanna and I are going to fly in there. Thank you very much for sending us our stickers to go on our hard cards. We've got our parking pass. And looking forward to coming to Kentucky Speedway Thursday evening, Tim. Thank you very much. Good luck on everything this weekend. Can't wait to meet you, brother.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday night. Take care.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Tim. Tim Bray there, Kentucky Speedway Public Relations Director there. Scott, he touched on a lot of stuff there. And, you know, you asked him some questions and this and that. And they're big on this click it, tick it, you know, with this seatbelt stuff. And I agree that should be there. But, Scott, before we get I want to take a little quick break because I know you've got some breaking news that you want to throw out. But before we throw that out, let's take a little quick break, and we will be back live. I'm Tim of Spain. He's Scott Rivas outside of Gaffney, South Carolina, there at J.D. Motorsports. We will be right back after this short message from Talladega Super Speedway.
But yeah, that's all that she's getting. Her song is on and she's spinning around. Yeah, she got me drunk like Corona, hot racing like it's Daytona. Ooh, I'm in heaven, I swear, right now. And those eyes can hypnotize, was designed to blow my mind. Look what God gave her, how perfect he made her. She walks in the room. Singing like she came down from the ceiling when she walked in here this evening. I thought, yeah, that girl 1 in 7 billion got everyone in here feeling like there's a fire in this building so high. Got a smile on an angel face. I know I'll never lose my faith. Look what God gave her, how perfect he made her. She walks in the room. Fell right out the sky. Yeah, I think I've seen the light. Every kiss I could die, like the heavens open wide. Man, I swear I've seen the light. Oh, look what God gave her, how perfect he made her. She walks in the room, it's like he answered my prayers. The way that she moves.
getting at it hot and heavy here in the opening lap.
Eric Almirola is around.
The stars of NASCAR return for the Go Bowling at the Glen weekend, August 1st through the 4th at the road course, three times voted best NASCAR track, Watkins Glen International.
Here in scenic upstate New York, the battle is very intense.
All the fans are loving it, too. He'll take over the top spot.
Don't wait. Get your tickets now at theglem.com.
Burbank Life, Dagger Nation. I'm Tim Spain alongside a color driver there, Scott Rivers, right outside of Gaffney, South Carolina. Scott, we just had Tim Bray come on, and I mean, he talked a lot about this weekend there. But from what I understand, you have some breaking news. And let me find my breaking news button, because I know. Here it is. Let me find it. And Steven said it sounds like the Walter Cronkite deal from the 70s. But let's go ahead and play this break. Scott, you got the floor, brother. I had to play that button. You tell me you had some breaking news, and I had to play that button. You got the floor. Let everybody know what's going on with Scott Rivas there in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
Well, this, everybody here is going to find out first because my boss doesn't even know it yet. But after Kentucky, maybe I'd be after Loudon, I'll be leaving JD Motorsports to go to DGR Crosley. And I'll be riding running Truck Series, ARCA, and the Canyon now instead of just Xfinity.
But Scott, I'm glad you took the time to announce it here. I really do. And that's the way you talk. That's going to be a lot more on you too, ain't it, brother?
No, not really. Right now, just with happenstance, the way people have come and gone and stayed and left. And I've been running all four teams here at JD's for about the past 2 months. And so I'll be responsible for one team each weekend. And they'll be my only responsibilities. And then it's JD's is a great place to work. Johnny Davis is a great man. My boss man, Brian Berry, I'd run through walls for. It's just time for me for a change of scenery, and this opportunity came, and I got an offer that I just couldn't say no to, and like I said, even my boss man doesn't know it, so if he's listening, I hope I don't get yelled at tomorrow, because I was going to tell him tomorrow, and but I'm going to take time. We hired a new truck driver today, and I'm going to take time to train him so he knows what to do when I leave, and like I said, my videos will stay the same, just be on different days, in different colors.
Amen, Scott. Congratulations. He's going to still stay in contact with us where you can be my go-to co-host if Steven can't make it, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. And, Scott, before we jump out of here, I wanted to let you throw that out there, but I want to let me find. Steven always does this, and I don't normally get to do this. This is from MRN. I know you're going to drive up from Gaffney, South Carolina. Susanna flying up Thursday from Birmingham. Kentucky schedule of events. This is from MRN. I want to credit MRN. All times are Easter. Thursday, July 11th, Gander Outdoor Truck Series practices at 9:35 a.m. 10:25 a.m. No TV, no radio. Excuse me. I got a little. Okay, here we go. Gander Outdoor Truck Series final fight is 11:55 a.m. No TV, no radio. Xfinity Series practice 3:05 p.m. to 3:55 p.m. No TV, no radio. Thursday, July 11th, Gander Outdoor Truck Series qualifying at 4:05 p.m. Fox One has your TV, and I'm hoping Suzanne can get with me soon. I can get up there to the airport and get out of that. Xfinity Series final practice 6 p.m. to 6:50 p.m. No TV, no radio. And then the race, the Gander Outdoors Truck Series. Buckle up in your truck, T25, 7:30 p.m. MRN and FS1 has your TV. Then we're going to go over to Friday, Monster Energy Cup Series Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 12:25 p.m. NBC SN has your cover. And then Monster Energy Cup Series final practice, 1:35 p.m. to 2:25 p.m. NBC has your TV. NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying, 4:15 p.m. NBC SN has your TV. And then the Monster Energy Cup Series qualifying, 6:05 p.m. on Friday, July the 12th, NBC SN. And then the Xfinity Series race, ASCO 300, 7:30 p.m. PRN has your radio. NBC SN has your TV. And then Saturday, Scott, we're racing in Kentucky. The Monster Energy Cup Series Quaker State 400 is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. PRN has your radio. NBC SN has your TV. And I can see now why Steven has bronchitis because I can't read out. Scott, any last things we need to talk about before we jump out of here?
No, I'm just curious to see how things roll this weekend for us. Like I said, it's going to be one of my last races with the guys, so it'll be a little bittersweet for me. Like I said, I'm good friends with everybody over here, and hopefully continue to be that way once I'm gone. And then see how our four cars do. We did get our first top five of the year this weekend with Stephen Light and Daytona. And just curious to see how that kind of momentum will push forward for us. And then beyond that, it's kind of pretty much up in the air.
Yeah, Scott, I want to thank you for a great run there with JD Motorsports. So CJ and I, we're going to be there for your last run there at Kentucky. I might – Suzanne mentioned maybe going to get a cantaloupe. Suzanne said, not doing the watermelon. We don't want to mess with the watermelon deal there with Ross Chastain. Suzanne and I might go get a cantaloupe and let you bust a cantaloupe on the gas can. How's that sound? We'll bust a cantaloupe on the gas can. Yeah, how's that sound, bro?
That'll work.
All right. And, Scott, before I let you go, I'm going to let you thank anybody that has helped you get there to where you're at. And I want to thank you for breaking what has become now a long-standing tradition with Scott Revis and J.D. Motorsports. Thank anybody you want to, and we'll jump out of here, brother. We'll see you in Kentucky.
I normally do the big guys. I'm going to do the people that supply our drinks from the Sundrop Bottling Company and Culver Distributing Company down in Rock Hill. They're the Miller Lite and Coors Light supplier of upstate South Carolina. They supply us with water and energy drinks and Arizona tea and all this stuff. And they got their little sticker on the car, and it's hardly enough to see. I want to make sure everybody knows that they're out there, and they take good care of us. And I hope those guys will probably follow me up to Mooresville. And just looking forward to the new stuff, and I guess I'll have a lot of new sponsors to talk about next time I'm on.
Amen, brother. Scott, thank you very much for joining us. I want to thank Tim Bray from Kentucky Speedway taking time out to come on also. And Suzanne and I, we're flying out. Well, tomorrow we got a media deal at Talladega Super Speedway. Scott, I'll be posting stuff on Media Center on our media stuff. Russell and Grant, they're inviting us out to eat tomorrow, and we're going to eat out of the press box there, and they're going to let us see they're going to let us take pictures and see everything, what they're doing for this $50 million deal there. But Scott, again, thank you very much for taking time to call in. And I'm gonna play your favorite song and my favorite song. And Scott, this is Nelly, and I will see you, Scott. Suzanne and I will see you in Kentucky Speedway on Thursday, brother. Safe travels up. We'll see you, man.
All right, brother.
You better watch who you're talking about. Running your mouth like you know me. You gon' fuck around and chill out of show me. Can call it show me. Why one on one you can't hold me? If your last name was Hayne, only way you word me out is stitch my name on your band. No resident of France, but you swear I'm from Paris. Son, it's a scariest. Total all that purpose. Trying to get purpose. My chain to your chain. Sprint a Motorola, no service out of your range. You're out of your brain. Thinking I'ma shout out your name. You gotta come up with better ways than that to get your pain. All that pressure you were blind. It's time to ease on. Before I hit you from the front, I'm taking your sleep.
clutching, we fall. Feel hard to please, boss. Don't be lying, be crying, suck at the feather loss. Cause your act is right, your whole label is right. Matter of fact,
I'm Matt DiBenedetto, driver of the number 95 Procore Toyota Camry, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.